everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Gems. And as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral. And as always, we are in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist. And of course, guys, as always, the Honorable Tesla and the Fantastic Miss Frida are here in the Cinema Gems cave. I guess that's what we're living in. Well, mainly the Honorable Tesla, because he has his adorned with his cinematic posters of dogs. Like he's got his Lassie, he's got another one. He hasn't put up his Where the Red Ferns Grows poster, which I'm kind of glad, because I don't think he's seen that movie, or the Old Yeller one, which I'm kind of glad because he hasn't seen either of those movies. But the Phantasmus Frida, her favorite franchise is the Kung Fu Panda movies, so she loves the Kung Fu Panda movies, because I mean she's basically a big panda, because she's just chunk and she likes to roll around all the time. But that is besides the point, guys. We have the illustrious Buttmeister reaching for the mic with his left hand. How's it going?
Hi, buddy? Everyone. Welcome back to Cinema Gems. We are another show on the internet where a bunch of opinionated nerds talk about the stuff we love, and it's mostly movies. And the Admiral's absolutely right. I am one hand down at the moment. Had a little bit of an accident, but don't worry. Doing my best to take care of myself. Just know that if you are currently struggling with a headache of a medical system, so am I. We can do this together. We can get through it together and all get the help we need. But until then, welcome back. We're talking about a lighthearted, fun little kids movie today. And it's a very, I don't know, I love this series. I'm just going to come right out of the gate. I love the Kung Fu Panda series. I was very excited for the Admiral to tell me that he wanted to review any of the Kung Fu Panda movies on this show.
Yep, and we did it the Buttmeister way. We rolled a six-sided die.
Yes, we did. Well, we called it a D3 kind of Warhammer style, but yeah.
So, guys, and you're probably wondering, wow, really? Kung Fu Panda 3? No, this is the first Kung Fu Panda movie we've ever reviewed. And all I have to say is, I am a fan of the first half of this franchise. Like, 1 and 2 to me are far superior than these other two.
Agreed.
But that's just me. That's how I feel. But
I agree with that, and we can kind of get more into detail about that in the final verdict of this movie. But yeah, this is we're starting with three, but don't worry if you've never seen any of the Kung Fu Panda movies. Let me give you a real quick recap. Jack Black plays a panda in a village that is protected by the Fab Five, the Fantastic Five.
The Furious Five? Are you
that
serious?
One.
The Furious Five.
Man. Yeah, the Furious Five. Kung Fu Masters. All taught by Master Oogway and Shifu. Also incredible Kung Fu Masters that live in a giant library of universal knowledge pertaining to the secrets of Kung Fu and life and the universe and everything. He is, like many of us watching these movies, a Kung Fu fanboy. He's collected all their action figures. He's got all their posters. He's gone to all their shows. He is at his heart, a fanboy first. And then lucks into being chosen as the Dragon Warrior. And TLDR of the first two movies, first he finds the secret of the Dragon Warrior is just within yourself, within your heart, being yourself. What an awesome message for a kid's movie. The second one, there are some also kind of dark reveals that I'm not going to give away too much of, because you don't need to know all those twists to kind of understand the third movie. Go watch them. They're really cute. I believe they're all on Peacock or Netflix. I watched this one on Netflix.
So 1 and 2 are on Peacock and 3 is on Netflix. But let's be honest. First movie, he fights Blackbeard.
S tier.
Blackbeard.
S tier. That is a whole gem movie. And yes, he does fight Ian McShane, who is another disgruntled former student of Master Oogway. Keep in mind that theme. The villains are all disgruntled former students of Master Oogway.
Well, no, he didn't. In the first one, he wasn't about Master Oogway. It was about Master Shifu.
That's right. He was a disgruntled.
Master Shifu raised him.
Master Shifu raised him, and Master Oogway was the one that constantly denied him the things that Master Shifu
Correct.
Promised him.
So technically, it's Master Shifu's pass in that first one, not Master Oogway.
It is, but it is. You're right, but it is also Master Oogway's fault.
They're intertwined, and technically, we're both right.
Yes.
We're both right.
We're arguing the same point.
And then in the second one, he fights
Gary Oldman as a peacock.
Yeah, which to me, holy terrifying. Crap, that was amazing.
Genuinely terrifying. For an animated peacock, exactly. Are you kidding me? That's the thing this movie relies on is you relating to the main character as being a fanboy of kung fu movies. Because let's be honest, everyone in our generation grew up on something fun and kung fu related marketed to kids, whether it be Jackie Chan Adventures or Shaolin Showdown or any of the Bruce Lee movies a little bit older than that.
See, it was Jet Li and Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan Adventures.
100%.
Those are the
and so it,
which Jackie Chan plays
monkey.
The
he plays the monkey.
He plays the monkey. Seth Rogen plays the. No, he's not a grasshopper.
Mantis, you're right.
Get it right. Yeah. And they have Lucy Liu as the viper.
Angelina Jolie as Tigress.
And David Cross as the
which
crane.
Which I love so much.
Exactly.
David Cross shouting out kung fu moves out loud is never not funny.
So, third one begins. Poe is at his peak of being the dragon warrior. He is recognized. He's recognized around town. He high fives a bunch of people.
He's a hero for all intents and purposes. He has achieved the status of hero that he's always wanted.
Exactly.
And then Master Shifu wants him to train the five. And that does not go very well.
No. But yes, so while that is going on, we decide to make sure that there is a different type of, I guess, hero status, I would say. Would you agree about Maestro?
Absolutely.
That he gets another achievement of hero status that basically, like you said earlier, Master Shifu says that he has to train the Furious Five.
Excuse me.
He's like, I don't know. Thank Bless you. You. I don't know if I can. I don't know if he can do that. You know, whatever's going on. And so then, suddenly, out of nowhere, this giant jade yak appears in the spirit realm of Master Oogway.
And we find out.
And he starts
we find out that this is
all the
Chi, not one of his former students, but essentially his brother in arms before Oogway became a teaching kung fu master at his own temple back when they were crusading. And again, we're getting peeks into Oogway's past. He was not always a peaceful pacifist. He was not always a spouter of wisdom. He did participate in war alongside very vicious power-hungry people like Kai. The whole series is the repercussions of Oogway's insanity.
What I also like that he...
But that's just my theory. It's also a film theory.
I like that they did that, that they showed that he saw the error of his ways, Master Oogway, and he decided to put his life back on the right path. Because, look, tortoises live for hundreds of years. So he saw the error of his ways. He saw what he did. And he's like, whoa, I need to learn to put my body to good use. So he decides to teach and decides to do this. And Kai, the yak, is like, oh, hell no. No. Not happening.
Kai's like, no, you betrayed everything we were fighting for. We were trying to gain power, and then you said that's enough, and I don't agree.
Exactly. Which, by the way, we have to specify that if you've ever seen the Matrix sequel movies, the Keymaster is Master Oogway. Let's just specify that.
Yeah.
And
I love his voice. I love his performance. I love Oogway's animation. He's a lovely character.
Also, do you...
until you realize his dark past.
Do you know what Ugwe means in Japanese? Turtle. Mm-hmm.
Does it really?
And you know what Shifu means in Japanese?
Shifu? I'm going to guess no, fox. No, it's
master. Panda. So Master Shifu is master.
Oh, yeah. Forgive me. I thought Sifu was Mandarin or Cantonese for master.
I mean, look, I could get all this but completely Shifu, wrong, yeah. But I feel that it probably is in... I feel bad now. It probably is in Mandarin or Cantonese.
We're white dudes. Don't listen to don't hold us to a standard of immediate correctness about when we're talking about other cultures. We're guessing. We're trying to make educated guesses and not spread any kind of false information. Correct. But like, grain of salt, please.
Yeah. And so basically, Kai collects all of the warriors and jade that he needs to come to the mortal realm. And then he decides to go after the Furious Five and the Dragon Warrior to achieve his status of Kai. So he literally goes throughout all of China to go and get different...
Capturing all of the Kung Fu Masters like Pokemon.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, but one of my favorites is Master Croc. And he is voiced by Jean-Claude Van Damme. And he does do the splits in an action sequence. Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing. What an amazing character. Like, right when you think they've jammed all the amazing Kung Fu movie references into the first two movies, they break out all these extra masters, and they're like, no, we're not done.
And apparently, by the way, I think Master Croc comes back for, I think, Kung Fu Panda 4. I don't know. I was like, wait, what? Patron was like, yeah.
Also, keep in mind, there are at least three television animated series that are considered canon.
Right.
They're not good.
No.
And you can tell the difference in animation quality and budget that the shows had to work with are very apparent. If you watch how the characters move and the lighting and camera work, in the movies, especially 3, and compare that with any of the incredibly stiff, lifeless animation in the TV shows, it's really clear. But read a Wikipedia article about them, because they are, for better or worse, canon.
Yeah.
As are these movies.
And, we forgot to talk about Ping, James Hung.
Yep. Poe's understood father in the first two movies as kind of a tongue-in-cheek, like, y'all know he's not his real dad, but like, he's a big goofy panda and he just loves the man who raised him kind of thing, you know.
He's adopted.
And he fully accepts his adopted dad until his real panda dad comes walking in one day.
And I love how
voiced by Bryan Cranston. We didn't already mention it, Kai. If you don't pick up on his voice immediately, J.K. low key, Simmons. Shame on you. It's J.K. Simmons.
Yep.
It's Cade. Cave Johnson. It's J.K. Simmons. It's Tenzin. How can you not recognize this amazing man's voice?
I thought of Whiplash.
Whiplash too, but as a musician who's gone through music school, I try to block that movie out of my memory.
Is it because it's accurate?
Almost.
Okay.
Well, Alex, I'll go more in depth into it one day.
Poe's dad is from a secret village in the mountaintops because if Gary Oldman's character got rid of all the pandas, but they fled, except Poe's mom, who unfortunately passed away, fled to the mountain range up top, and that is where Master Oogway and Kai learned their gathering their chi from. Bryan Cranston panda dad's like, oh, I'll show you, I'll take you to the mountain range. Takes him to the mountain ranges, doesn't realize that Poe's adopted dad Ping is in a stowed away box.
Yeah. When he could have just flown the whole time.
Yep. And I love that Jack Black, Poe's like, wait, you can fly? And he's like, I'm a goose.
I'm a bird. He's a very silly goose.
Exactly. So basically, they get to the mountain range. They have to defeat everybody. But we also get to see that Kai starts to take down the five. He starts to take down. He'll take down Manus first, then Crane. He'll take down other characters. And the only one that's left is Tigress, who goes and gets to the mountain range, says, hey, look.
I will say, before Tigress gets to Poe, the scene where Kai is using the statue of Oogway as a wrecking ball to wreck the Jade Palace actually made me gasp. I wasn't really all that emotionally involved in this movie until he used the statue of Oogway as a wrecking ball. Not only is that a way overpowered, awesome, cool move, but the symbolism right there of this is a consequence of Oogway's actions. And Oogway, not Kai, but Oogway is the one destroying all of this and the reason it has to be taken down. That's the symbolism I read from it, and it made me gasp out loud.
Yeah, it's tearing down Oogway's establishment that he built brick by brick.
Using Oogway's face.
Exactly. To bring terror to the Peace Valley, or the Valley, or the Great Valley. I don't know what the name of the town is that they live
Valley in. Valley of Peace.
But
I believe it's just called the Valley of Peace.
They get to the mountain range, and Bryan Cranston dad's like, look, I'm gonna teach you to be a panda. We sleep till noon. And he just showed him the fundamentals of being a panda, which just means being lazy.
Now,
which,
this is the section of the movie that is for sure meant to just entertain your kids while you do chores around the house.
Oh yeah, no.
This is the pandas being big goofy little fat balls of joy.
To me, this dragged.
This dragged. I agree. This is the part of the movie that is not made in consideration of entertaining the adults watching it as well. Whereas I feel most of, at least the first and second movies, while are very child friendly and can definitely be played to entertain your kid in the background, are also very thoughtful and enjoyable for adults. And then we get to the Panda DLC from World of Warcraft.
Yeah. And don't forget, was it Kate Hudson is Maymay, and she seems interested in Poe.
She seems interested in anyone who can pay her.
Yep. Yeah.
And Poe being the dragon warrior, you know, not absurd to assume that he comes from money.
Right.
That's how I read what she was up to.
how'd you like Wayne Knight, AKA Newman, as, Home Lee. He was big fun.
Oh, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Oh, and don't forget Al Roker as Dim.
Yep. Al Roker as some, Willie Geist as Dim. Geist from SNL.
See, it's reversed on the Wikipedia for me. It's Al Roker for Dim and Willie Geist for some.
It's the opposite on IMDb. That is freaking hilarious.
Well, that's a first, listeners. Don't know. It's whatever.
Who knows? I will say, like, part of the incredible formula of Kung Fu Panda that it uses, at least through the third movie, is the combination of very nostalgic Kung Fu fighting movie themes with an incredible voice cast across the board.
Do you want to talk about the music before we go any further?
Please, because I still stand by the fact that some of Hans Zimmer's best works ever are for kids' movies.
You know what? I can
some
agree
of his
with that.
Absolute best works. Prince of Egypt, Lion King, this, the whole Kung Fu Panda series. There have been times where the temple theme from the first movie plays in my playlist in the car, and I will start crying in the car because he very much succeeded in making an incredibly moving theme, incredibly fun music. I still stand by, and I don't get me wrong, I loved his work in the Dune movies. I genuinely did love them both, but I believe his best work has been done in kids' movies.
No, I agree with you. He, to me, because he
and this is no exception.
To me, the reason is, and stop me if I'm wrong, I feel like he can play around more with kids' movies.
Yes.
Because he can... It's not... I mean, it's. I don't mean it in a mean way. It's tonally all over the place.
It's not as high stakes.
But he can make it... He can make the tone shift differently for certain scenes in the music for a kids' movie where you're supposed to understand and be heard out of certain things. But... In a big action movie like Dune, he has to follow a certain protocol. He has to follow a formula. That's how I feel.
And right.
That's just me.
Oh, I completely agree. Dune is in its own thing because Denis Villeneuve really wanted him to make truly outer-worldly sounds. So naturally, he went with bagpipes.
Which makes sense. Because...
That's the thing that's really funny to me. I need to cut like the part of the interview where he talks to Denis Villeneuve and he's like, yeah, I loved working on this project because he had me make some very outer-worldly, out-of-this-world sounds that you can't find on Earth. But two, the introduction of the Atreides on Arrakis and its bagpipes. Okay. I still loved it. I'm complaining about it, but I still loved both Dune movies. But I also really loved his music for Kung Fu Panda 3. Yeah. It was very thrilling all throughout. And anytime I kind of lost concentration on the movie and was starting to lose interest, it was his music that pulled me back in.
So the question I have for you is, do each movie have a different theme? Did you watch all of them?
Not in succession. I have seen the first two a while back. The first one was Believing in Yourself.
Right.
The second one was, I think, Letting Go.
Yeah.
It was Forgiving Yourself.
Forgiving Yourself, and this one's kind of To Move On, I think? I don't know.
This one is... It's hard to pin down a singular lesson for this movie because it kind of reiterates both of those themes. Mm-hmm. It is more about family, and to a degree, also forgiveness, and to a degree, also about who are you. And achieving enlightenment through knowledge of yourself and understanding of yourself. But those are also just very generally applicable things for a lot of Kung Fu movies. And being a kids movie, not bad lessons to push.
Nope, not at all. Bryan Cranston daddy reveals that, hey, I don't know the ways of intercepting Kai. I'm sorry, I just wanted to spend time with you. So, what does Poe do? Well, I'm sorry, what does Jack Black do? He just rips up all the action movies he's ever seen in his entire life. That's not a bad thing.
But we do have a montage of the village training for a fight.
Correct.
Now, that's a little weird to me, because... They had already established like how quickly Tigris got there. And so assuming Kai can get there in about half the time, from the time Ho told all the pandas, hey, we got a train, to the time Kai was pulling up, maybe was an hour.
Yeah, that's how it felt too.
Like, they had no time at all. I was expecting Kai to pull up and start swinging as they were mid-training montage.
Which, by the way, do you like Kai's weapon with the jade swords? Because I think they're amazing.
It gives Chaos Blades.
Yeah.
From God of War.
God of War. Yeah.
It gives green Chaos Blades, and I kind of love it.
Yeah. I would say Emerald, but Jade is more accurate.
Yeah, Jade Chaos Blades. It's very much what that was, and I think it worked really well with the character. It's another thing these movies really nail, is individual character design. Every character has their own distinct vibe, their own distinct fighting style, their own distinct personalities, across the board.
And then, of course, Poe defeats Kai, but by bringing himself...
Pushing himself into the spirit world.
Yep.
Using his secret move from the first two movies that Oogway taught him.
And Oogway gives him the staff of, I guess, enlightenment?
Yep.
Which,
Hell, it's a symbol of where he's at and what he's achieved, as well as it's going to help him better understand the mastery.
Yeah. And by the way, that sequence, that fight sequence when he defeats Kai with the dragon with the fireworks, amazing.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's 10 out of 10 awesome action sequence. It was visually amazing. Great. It was amazing. Fun. As soon as we got away from Panda Island, it was fun again.
Panda Mountaintop.
And
thank you very much, Panda Mountaintop.
Again, this movie, I think what bothers me so much about the Panda Mountaintop, the Panda Village, is like I was saying before, these movies up to this point have done a great job of giving every individual character their own individual vibe, personality, style, everything. And then you get to the Panda Mountaintop and they're all clones.
Yep.
They all have the same personality traits. Chubby. Yep. I wish you would have distinguished them a little bit better and given them more individuality than just we're all going to roll down this mountain together. But I don't know. Yep. I get it. Kids are going to love it.
All right, guys. So that has been our review of Kung Fu Panda from 2016. And here on Cinema Gems, we have a rating system. Full gem, an amazing movie. A half a gem, an all right movie. A no gem, a horrible movie. But Maestro, what do you give Kung Fu Panda 3 from 2016?
So I have to preface this with, if we were reviewing the first two as well, I would give both of the first two whole perfect gems. This movie, 3, is right on the line between whole gem and half gem. Because it is still very good in a lot of the same ways as the first two, but it also, I think, panders a little more
to kids. It panders.
Cats for time.
It panda panders.
It does panda. It pandas a little to the kids.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Ha. Okay. You know what? Just for that whole gem. I was teetering, but just because the pandas are the pandering. Okay, you twisted my arm. My left arm, but you twisted my arm. I was about to say,
make sure I twist your left arm. So
whole gem, screw it.
Okay, so for me, the first two, full gem. I agree with you. And if you guys want us to review the first two movies, we will do them in the future.
I'm so down. I love both of those movies.
If you want us to review the fourth one when it comes out, let us know. I mean, I already seen it in theaters. But when it comes to streaming, let us know. We would love to. CinemaGems15@gmail.com. Let us know. But for me,
please.
For me, I'm going to be honest with you. This is dead center half gem. This is a half gem movie. I cared about half of the movie and didn't care about the other half of the movie. The two dads loved it. Thought it was amazing. The whole sequence with Kai taking down the temple with Oogway, amazing. When we got to Panda Mountaintop, did not care. Don't care. But when we got to the...
I know I share a mind with film theory on this. Again, these movies are much more interesting to me now as an adult. And seeing that, every antagonistic force in this movie only exists because of Oogway.
Yep.
They only exist and act as an antagonizing force because Oogway wronged them in some way, that even the current masters, Poe and the Five, are all like, yeah, that was rough.
Yep. the spirit realm fight sequence, amazing, beautiful. But for me, it's a half gem. Sorry.
That's fair.
Sorry.
That's fair. You heard me teetering, and the only reason I wobbled to the whole gem side was because of a really dumb pun.
It was pretty
dumb. That's all it takes for me.
It was pretty dumb.
I'm a cheap. I almost said a curse word. I'm not going to do that. We're keeping this clean.
Yeah.
But please let us know what you think of the Kung Fu Panda movies, what you think of specifically Kung Fu Panda 3. What did you think of what we thought about it? Please tell us all about that at cinemagems15@gmail.com.
Yep.
We still read emails on the air. We just don't get enough emails to read on the air. So please email us.
You know,
give
what?
Us something to read on the air.
Up,
give us something to do.
I'm gonna look up if we got give any us, emails.
Stoke the fires.
I'm gonna look up.
Like
got
just
emails.
state a thing that you think the Admiral and I will disagree with, because that can just become a whole episode.
Yep. We also want to specify thank you to Marty and the Arrogant Observer for allowing us to be on your website, littlerainpictures.com. Also, Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. And guys, there is this. Now, it's been out a while. I sent it to the Butt Maestro. I don't know if he did it. But there's an app. Well, not an app. There's a website by NASA. And you can find your Pluto time. Of what Pluto is at high noon for your sun. Like, so it's obviously going to be late in the day or early in the morning. The other day, mine was at like 7:38 p.m. in Central Florida. Okay. And that was high noon on Pluto. So it's science.nasa.gov. Go enter your... look, if you don't know your longitude and latitude, that's fine. You can just enter your city.
You can
Google
it. You can open up Google Maps. It's right there.
Yeah. You can enter your city and find out where your high noon on Pluto is. I highly suggest it. It was very fascinating because I was walking with the Phantasm Frida and the Honorable Tesla the other day, and I was like, wow, this is high noon on Pluto. Wow. But I guess the other main thing I wanted to say is, But Maestro, could you come over here? Just walk on over here, okay? Just walk over. You see this?
Through the time space continuum, yeah. Yes.
You see this beautiful menagerie that we have here of different things, of listeners that we have, like little sculpted, like dolls of them, like, you know, little tiny essence.
Wait, get on with it.
We have a new listener.
Oh, nice.
And he would like to be known as the Lanky Yankee. So I would like to welcome the Lanky Yankee into our menagerie of the cinematic verse or the cinematic universe.
Thank you for becoming a certified cinemaniac. We dub thee
the Lanky Yankee.
No, thank you for listening. Please email us, cinemagems15@gmail.com. Or if you know the Admiral in person, just tell him in person, because you know how much both of us love talking about movies and the podcast in person. But yes. Thank you to the Lanky Yankee and all of our amazing Swapper Jacks friends and family. We love y'all so much, and we could not do this show without your support and your input. Thank you. Y'all rock.
Guys, just remember to take time for yourself before you can help others. A lot of things are going on right now. We know it's tough. We know there's a ton of things going on. We know there's elections happening. Just vote. Make sure that you vote to show your support for whatever you believe in.
As long as we still have some remnants of democracy, and as long as you have the ability to vote, even if you feel like that ability to vote is almost an illusion, still take advantage of the opportunity to do so while it is not fully an illusion yet. Does that make sense, Admiral?
I 100% agree and understand what you're saying.
Yeah. You use the little power we have while we still have it before very selfish people try to take all of it away.
Yep. Guys, just remember to take some time before you can help others.
If you need to heal. Take time and heal. And I'm saying that for myself as well.
And also, guys, I'm also checking the email right now, so that's why I'm kind of stammering a little bit. But Maestro, do you want to give them a reveal of what's next week?
Well, okay, so like it's related to something that just came out, but it's not the thing that just came out.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you mean.
It's got the same name as a movie that just came out, but it did not just come out. It's been out for a very long time, and it's already been talked about by many, many people on the internet. It's kind of an older movie.
Came out 40 years ago.
Kind of an older movie. It's got some interesting actors in it. You got Patrick Stewart in there. You've got Kyle MacLachlan from...
Yeah. Should we just specify that it's David Lynch's only adaptation?
Correct. I believe it's David Lynch's only ever adaptation.
Oh, it 100% is. He said he would never adapt again because of that.
Yep. So that's it. All right, that's guys, all the hints you get.
We'll see y'all next week. We'll see y'all next week. Just remember to take some time before you can help others, but also remember, guys, to wipe your hooves and see you later. But remember, guys, also that Black lives always matter.
Love y'all. Peace.
And also peace and accountability in the Middle East, guys. We love y'all. Bye.
Uguay was the bad guy.